Meeting on Monday, May 29th. The prayer meeting is entirely on Zoom at 7 p.m., but we are also looking for leaders who can lead some of those prayer sections. So if you wish to or are able to lead a prayer section, please contact Linda Hopkins or the church office and let us know. Once again, we are looking for some prayer leaders for that evening. Well, my message this morning is entitled, "You Never Have to Explain What You Don't Say." And that is true, isn't it? You never have to explain what you don't say. How many of us, and I would expect 100% hands up for this one, how many of us have said something and we have to say, that's not what I meant, because what we've said maybe is not exactly what we wish to convey, and we find ourselves maybe backpedaling or in a little bit of hot water. I'm sure we've all been there. So we're going to look this morning at a topic covered often in the book of Proverbs, and that is how we manage our words. Our speech. But before we do that, let's invite God's Spirit to speak to us, shall we? Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to another topic that is covered in the book of Proverbs, Lord, we are mindful that our discipleship, our following Christ, involves more than our actions and our thoughts. It also involves the words we use as we speak to others or as we speak about others. It involves even the tone that we use. Father, you tell us in Scripture to ensure that our words, our conversation is seasoned with grace. And we acknowledge and we confess that we fall short. Often we say things that are maybe hurtful to others. Perhaps we say things about others that are unkind. Father, help us to, under your Holy Spirit, be able to govern the use of our words. And so as we look at this topic from the book of Proverbs, may your Holy Spirit encourage our hearts. May you also challenge us in this area of our lives. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When investigating insurance claims, insurance adjusters usually ask people to describe their accidents in the fewest words possible. Here are a few statements taken from actual insurance claims, and I want you to keep in mind, people are attempting to describe how the accident happened, and they're trying to use as few words as possible. One person wrote, "I pulled from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed straight for the ditch." Another driver said, "The telephone pole was approaching fast. I was attempting to swerve out of its path when it struck my front bumper." And here's a statement taken from a rather confused driver who said, "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have." One person tried to deflect blame for her accident this way. "As I approached the intersection, a sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. So I was unable to stop in time to avoid an accident." And here's how one person explained why they were distracted. "In an attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole." Yet another driver said the indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. And finally, one driver said, "I had been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident." As those statements illustrate, we sometimes have trouble putting our words together so that they clearly communicate what we wish to say. When used appropriately, our words have the power to encourage, comfort, and bring out the best in other people. On the other hand, our words also have the power to hurt, slander, and confuse other people. We all remember the nursery rhyme, don't we? That nursery rhyme which says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Unfortunately, this nursery rhyme probably ranks as one of the greatest lies of all time. In reality, careless words can hurt, and sometimes we feel the sting of those words long after they have been spoken. Today, as we continue our journey through the book of Proverbs, we turn our attention to the issue of managing our mouth. The book of Proverbs, written by King Solomon as God inspired him, gives us God's instructions concerning a wide range of important issues, including personal ethics, money management, marriage, parenting, relationships, and many other areas of life. Remember, a proverb is a short, wise saying that summarizes a truth about life. One of the prominent themes in Proverbs concerns the wise use of our words. I believe this tells us that God considers our speech to be an important part of our discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we strive to use our words in a way that is wise and honoring to God. According to research, the average person speaks between 10,000 and 20,000 words per day. So I want you to think about that for a moment. That's enough words to fill a small book. So let's explore what God's Word teaches us about using our speech in a way that honors Him and encourages and brings out the best in other people. I invite you to follow along as I read two passages for you. The first one is Proverbs 13:3, followed by Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. Proverbs 13:3 says, He who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And the message of this proverb is clear. Be careful about what you say. The person who cannot exercise self-control over their speech will invite a lot of trouble into their life. Let's take a look at Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, which says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. In this section in Proverbs chapter 6, God gives us a list of seven things that he finds detestable. It's worth noting that three of those things on the list relate to our speech. Now, in a moment, we're going to look at a few principles from the book of Proverbs that govern the area of our speech. But before we do that, I want to give you two general biblical principles about the use of our words. Biblical principle number one, the tongue might be small, but it is significant. So the tongue might be small, but it is very, very significant. More than 150 verses in the book of Proverbs deal with the subject of controlling our tongue, controlling our speech. In the New Testament, dozens of verses deal with the same issue. For example, in James chapter 3, Scripture tells us that the tongue is hard to tame. Although it's a small part of the human body, the tongue can cause a lot of destruction if it's not brought under control. In James chapter 3, verse 5, the tongue is compared to a spark which sets a forest on fire. And we know the kind of damage, we see that out in Alberta, don't we? The damage that a forest fire or forest fires can do. And in verse 8, James says, the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And James is saying that our tongue has the power to inflict pain and destruction. A few careless words can damage someone else's reputation. It can ruin the harmony in a marriage relationship. It can undermine the unity of an entire church. Our words carry a lot of weight. A number of years ago in Norway, a high school student decided to celebrate the end of the school year. He was excited. The school year had come to an end, and on the last day of school, he decided that he would celebrate by burning his textbooks. He filled his backpack with his textbooks, and he set it on fire during a recess period. But the backpack was a little too close to a shed, and the shed caught fire. Even worse, the shed was a little too close to the school building, and the school caught on fire. The end result, The student who thought it would be a fun idea to burn his textbooks accidentally burned down the entire school. Burning a few textbooks seemed innocent enough, but no thought was given to the potential consequences. In the same way, we don't always give thought to the damage that our words can do. But like a small fire that spreads out of control, our careless words can create a lot of damage. Although our tongue might be small, it can be a positive instrument, or it can be an instrument of evil. Biblical truth number two, our speech reveals our level of maturity. Our speech will reveal the level of our maturity, especially our spiritual maturity. Jesus said that the words we use reveal what is inside our heart. In other words, our speech reflects our character. Our speech is like a window into our soul because the way we talk to others or the way we talk about others is a reflection of the condition of our heart. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. He said, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Now, many of us are tempted to believe that when it comes to following Christ, our speech is a secondary issue. We focus on the importance of integrity and Christian morality. We emphasize Christian disciplines like prayer and worship. And those are all obviously very important things. However, integrity and Christian character also have a lot to do with how we speak to others and what we say about other people. Jesus said that our speech puts our character on display. A major aspect of our Christian growth and our Christian maturity involves integrity and godliness in our speech. Now, let me draw you back to the book of Proverbs for the remaining time, and let me note several principles that we find there regarding our speech. This morning, I'm going to point out four God-given principles that ought to govern how we talk, how we use our speech. First, God instructs us to speak thoughtfully. He instructs us to speak thoughtfully. Proverbs 18:13 contains these words of wisdom. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame." There are really two points in this verse. First, it's important that I stop and think before I speak. We need to stop and think before we say things that we're later going to regret. Second, and this is so important, we need to learn to listen well. We sometimes jump to conclusions and we leap into conversation without first seeking to understand the other person. Listening, and I mean genuinely listening to another person, is a critical life skill. When we carefully listen to another person, we're doing two things. We're communicating that we care, and we are communicating that we are attentive to that person's needs and concerns. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, and the tongue of the wise brings healing." The idea here is that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Imagine if every one of us applied this truth to our lives. Wouldn't we prevent a lot of conflict in our homes, our churches, and in all our relationships? As I said, listening, carefully listening to others, is a critical life skill. One beautiful spring day, not unlike today, four teenage girls decided to skip school, and they decided that they were going to go to the shopping mall instead. When they finally arrived at school in the early afternoon, they explained to their teacher why they were late. They lied, and they said they would have made it to school on time, but their car had gotten a flat tire. Much to the girls' relief, the teacher accepted their excuse. It looked as though their fictional story worked. But the teacher said, "Since you missed this morning's math quiz, you need to take the quiz right now." So the teacher sat the girls far apart across the room, where the girls couldn't talk to each other, they couldn't communicate with each other in any way. Once they were seated, the teacher said, "Your math quiz contains only one question. One question. On your piece of paper, write the answer to this. Which tire was flat?" I think this is a good illustration of the problem with lying. Lies are eventually exposed. And this leads us to a second principle regarding our speech. God instructs us to speak the truth. Scripture speaks a lot about personal integrity and character. A follower of Christ should be completely honest and trustworthy in all their dealings with others. As believers, we are called to live by the highest ethical standards. Proverbs 6:17 says that the Lord detests a lying tongue. Proverbs 24:28 says, "Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive." Why does God detest lying? First and foremost, He is a God of truth. He speaks the truth, He reveals the truth, and He knows the truth. When we deliberately deceive others, when we lie to others, we deny the God of truth. To lie and deceive is the exact opposite of God's nature. God also knows that dishonesty destroys trust, and trust is the basis for all healthy relationships. It's impossible to have a healthy and good relationship with someone else if that person can't trust us, or we can't trust that person. Let me give you a third biblical principle that ought to govern our speech. We ought to speak what is necessary. We find this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, which says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Likewise, Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." The advice in these proverbs is clear. The more we talk, the more likely it is that our mouth will get us into trouble. Now, does this mean we should avoid small talk and casual conversation? Of course not. The biblical principle is that sometimes the wisest thing to do is simply to keep silent. Now, every one of us has been in a situation where we decided that the best thing to do was to bite our tongue because opening our mouth would make things worse. Scripture teaches us that sometimes silence is wisdom. Well, I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. There was once a barber, and this barber had nothing good to say about anyone. He was chronically negative and critical about absolutely everything. Well, one day, a businessman, a regular customer, came into the barber shop, and he told the barber that he needed a really good haircut because he was going on a business trip to Rome. And as they talked, the barber started criticizing the airlines. They're always late. They're not dependable. And he said, "It's impossible to find a good hotel these days. The service is lousy. It's too expensive." So the barber advised the businessman that he would be better off staying at home. The businessman said, "But I expect to close a very important business deal when I'm in Rome. And then I'm going to see the Pope." Well, once again, the barber started with his negativity. "Don't count on seeing the Pope. He only sees important people." Well, several weeks later, the man returned to the barber shop to tell the barber about his trip. He said, "My trip was perfect. The airline was great. It was on time. The hotel was excellent. The service was superb. And I was even able to meet the Pope." The barber said, "Really? You got to meet the Pope? What did he say to you?" The businessman hesitated, and then he said, "Well, the Pope put his hand on my head, and he said, 'Son, where did you get that awful haircut?'" Now, I'm certain we've all met critical and negative people like this barber, haven't we? And it brings us to a fourth principle from Proverbs. God instructs us to speak words that bring life and unity. Listen as I read Proverbs 16:28, followed by James 4:11. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." James 4:11 reads, "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it." These two verses condemn two kinds of speech, gossip and slander. The word used in the New Testament for gossip conveys the idea of secret communication. And that's really what gossip is, isn't it? It's the sharing of personal and private information about someone else without their permission. Gossip is destructive for two reasons. It usually casts another person in a very negative light. And when we pass along secondhand information about someone else, there's a good chance that some of the information is untrue. The other kind of destructive speech mentioned here is slander. Slander comes from a word that means to speak out against. And slander occurs when we speak damaging information about someone else that harms that person's reputation. In addition to gossip and slander, Scripture also warns us about the danger of critical speech. Criticism will rip the life out of any relationship. And nothing will undermine the joy and the unity and the peace in a church like a spirit of criticism. When Christians are constantly criticizing each other and finding fault with each other, what happens is that Satan sows disunity. Now, this does not negate the need for constructive feedback. To give someone advice with the intention of helping them is a good thing, but we must guard against unnecessary criticism and negativity. God calls us to a higher road, doesn't he? A higher standard. He calls us to encourage others. He calls us to build up the faith of others. He calls us to look out for the best interests of others. Through the book of Proverbs, God commands us to speak thoughtfully, to speak the truth, to speak what is necessary, and to choose speech that brings life and unity. The question is, how do we apply these principles to our lives? I want to leave you with three things very briefly as we close this morning. First, remind yourself to keep your heart pure. As I said earlier in this message, and as we see from the teaching of Jesus, there is a direct connection between the words we speak and the condition of our heart. Jesus said, once again, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think the best way that we can use our speech in a way that is honoring to God is by making sure our heart is pure and right with God. Second, be careful about destructive and deceptive speech. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." As followers of Christ, our words should be trustworthy, and our speech should reflect the grace and love of God that has changed our lives. Third, remember that God will hold us accountable for our words. In Matthew 12, Jesus said that we will have to give an account for the words that we have spoken. And I don't think any of us can fully understand what this means. But one thing is clear, in some way, God will hold us accountable for words that are abusive, untrue, and divisive. This is a powerful incentive to ask the Holy Spirit to help us control what we say. It's a powerful incentive to speak to others in a way that is loving, gentle, honest, uplifting, carefully chosen, and pleasing to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wisdom in Proverbs. And truthfully, there's a lot of wisdom when it comes to learning how to speak thoughtfully, learning to choose our words wisely, seeking to lift others up as much as possible, to bring out the best in others. Father, we pray that through the enablement and the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to choose our words carefully, to be vessels of encouragement and to again bring out the best in others and to build them up in their faith. Lord, as we will be concluding our series in Proverbs next week, thank you again for the words of wisdom. Help us to apply them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Wise words this morning. And